In the name of Jesus, amen. When she was just a young, unwed mother with a crazy story that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit with the very child of God, that she would be the mother of God, probably with friends and family that were a little bit too hesitant to buy into such a story, you think she expected this? When Joseph had decided to keep her as his bride and took her to Bethlehem for the census to be counted, and there she, where she would give birth in a stable to the very Son of God, where she would be called the Mother of God, do you think she expected this? Or how about when she had to leave Jesus when he was only just 8 days old so that he could be taken to be circumcised in the temple? Or how about 40 days after he was born when they both went to the temple to have the sacrifices offered on their behalf for cleanliness and purity? Do you think she would realize that one day her son would be the sacrifice? I think she had plenty of warning, and I think in some way, shape, or form she knew that a day like this was to come, but I don't think she knew what cost and what pain and what sorrow she would have to go through. There's many, many different accounts in the scriptures and in the gospel lessons where Mary is recorded as storing up and treasuring things in her heart, remembering what is happening and looking for what will be coming. But whether she knew the full extent of what was going to happen, what would be coming when it came to the cross, we're left a little bit perplexed. But when it comes to Mary, there's one thing for sure. We must know and must call her the Mother of God. No, she's not the mother of our Father. This doesn't mean that there was a time when God didn't exist and then he did exist. But we have to call Mary the Mother of God because she does indeed take Jesus within her womb and gives birth to him. Through all the different phases of the birth process, digestion and all those things, from a zygote to a blastocyte to an embryo to a fetus to a baby to a toddler to a child, from a young man into a man, God goes through all the processes just like you and I because he loved us. The Lutheran confessions are clear that if you refuse to call Mary the Mother of God, that is the God-bearer, the one who brings God into this world, you're guilty of the Nestorian heresy. Nestorius was a guy in the 4th and 5th century who really wanted to protect God. He didn't think it was right that God should become man, that God could come down to earth, that God could do the things that was confessed about him, and he wanted to protect God. Save God from himself, you might say. So he didn't actually believe that Mary could be the mother of God, that God could take on humanness, because he thought humanness was bad, having a body was bad, and so Jesus just looked like a man, but he really was just God. And he really didn't die, he just looked like he died on the cross, but he got really anxious about calling God man. But God and man are absolutely inseparable when Jesus steps forth from his throne from heaven to come down and redeem man. He even ascends back into heaven with his very body. The book of Revelation reminds us that there is a lamb that looks like it has been slain on the throne. He is forever in his body. He forever bears the wounds and the marks and the scars. Because now God has joined himself with man. And if he's able to do that, that means that your flesh can be saved as well. It means that just as all of us have gone through those same cycles from a zygote and blastocyte and embryo and fetus, as we have been born and grow up into men and women, so also our Father has sent his Son to do the same. That you have a God that has gone through all these things. This is why in particular we as Christians love life from the very conception to the end. Because this is how our God has come to us in the very form of a precious child that would grow up to be a man to die for us. This is why the sins of abortion are so atrocious to us. Because we confess that as Jesus had a mother of God, so that we also have a mothers in this world. And that as we grow, life is valuable just as much as it was valuable to God. A God who is not too proud to be able to call a young woman mother. To trust in her, to learn from us how to walk, how to talk, how to see and look at things. The scriptures say he grew in wisdom and stature. Behold the man who comes for you as one of us. Behold the man, the promised seed of the woman sent to crush the head of the serpent, who comes to free you from your sins. And we still have a mother. No, it's not the Virgin Mary. But we have a mother in the church who bears us with Jesus. Where we hear through water and word and bread and wine the very things of life. How we are brought into God's family. Made one with Him. How we take on Him, how it's no longer us, but Christ Jesus crucified for us, and how our very flesh will one day rise and join in the heavenly feast which has no end. God must become man. God must have a mother if we have any shot. If we have any shot at ridding ourselves of sin. And death and hell. And that is why Jesus became man for us. He is your God. He is man. 100% of both God and man at all times. Praise be to Him who does all things well. Amen.